Let's read Galatians 5, 22 and 23. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." Now we continue our study on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we saw last week that you will either be doing one of two things. You'll either be being controlled by the flesh, which will lead to the works of the flesh. See that also in Galatians 5. Or you will be being controlled by the Spirit, which will lead to the production of the fruit of the Spirit in your life. These nine fruits are simply the characteristics of Christ. If you want to know what Christ lived like, he lived like this. These nine fruits. We also saw that the way you can tell if a person is Spirit-filled, the way you can tell if you're Spirit-filled, is if you see a measure of these fruits being produced in your life. And not only here in church, we saw that because these become characteristics of who you are, these will also be seen out in the workplace, in your home, at your school, wherever you are, these nine fruits will be being produced. They characterize your life. These fruits show us something. They show us that being filled with the Spirit is much more than just an academic exercise. It's much more than just getting our Bibles out and the other works out and tearing this thing apart and coming to an intellectual understanding and building a theology off of that understanding. No, that is absolutely essential. We must not stop there. There are too many people who can tell you intellectually what being filled with the Spirit is, but who are not actually filled with the Spirit. If you are filled with the Spirit, it is going to impact your life in a very real and a very radical way. Lives that were characterized by things like hatred and prejudice, darkness and stress, become characterized by love, joy, and peace. These nine characteristics of Christ begin to grow in us, and begin to flow out of us towards others. We begin to change in a radical way. Now, I have a hesitation, actually, when it comes to teaching the individual fruits. You know what my hesitation is? It's this. Because it is our tendency to look at this and turn the fruit of the Spirit into works of the flesh. And what I mean by that is this. I can see this and I can say, I need more love. And I can say, well, then I am going to have more love. And I can go out, set about trying to love people more in my own strength. And what will happen is I fail and I fail and I fail because in my own strength, I can't love in the way the Bible wants me to love. These are fruits. These grow naturally when we remain connected to the vine, when we continue to submit to the Spirit and depend upon Him to live out this Christ-like life in us day by day. These are natural fruits that grow. At the same time, though, they are matters of obedience, choices we must make. They grow naturally when we are submitted and dependent upon the Spirit. In other words, when we're Spirit-filled. But at the same time, we're commanded to love, to have joy. We're commanded to be gentle, to be kind, and all of these things. So they are fruits. At the same time, they are a choice, and at the same time, they are an action that we must make. How does that all work itself out, the balance of that? Well, first of all, it all begins with a Spirit-filled life. Don't lose this. It all begins with a Spirit-filled life. As I surrender to Him, and as I depend upon Him, He begins to do some things in my life. First of all, He produces in me that godly desire to want to love, to want to be patient towards others, to want to be kind, to want to be gentle and all of these things. He produces those desires in my heart as I draw near to Christ and submit myself to Him and depend upon Him. Philippians 2, 12 and 13 says this, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." Then he says, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose." Do you realize that the desires to obey God, the desires to glorify Him, to live a life that is pleasing Him, to Him, to love others, to be kind to others, those holy desires come from the Spirit. He places those within our heart as we live closely to Him. Those desires come from him. Secondly, he begins to produce in me this godly fruit of love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, self-control, faithfulness, and all of that. Now, in the mix of all this, I still have a choice that I must make. It's my choice to love or not. It's my choice to be patient or harsh, to be gentle and kind. At any point in this, I can say no, and I won't be walking in the Spirit anymore. Now, many times as you're walking in the Spirit, these choices are extremely easy. In fact, it's such a natural part of you that you're going to love, that you're going to be patient, you're going to be kind, you're going to surprise yourself how loving you are and how kind and patient you are. Wow, I'm growing. I'm becoming more Christ-like. But listen, there are going to be those times that you're not going to feel like loving. There may be an extremely unlovable person in front of you. A person who is antagonistic, cantankerous, a person who is harsh, and you're thinking, you know what, the Lord wants me to love them? The Lord wants me to be patient and gentle and kind with them? No thanks. And the Spirit whispers in your ear, I've commanded you to love. I've commanded you to be gentle. And at that point, you're at a choice, aren't you? You can say, I am going to love them. I am going to be patient. I am going to be kind. Or you're going to say, no, I'm not going to do it. If you say yes, you're submitting to the Spirit and you're continuing to walk in the Spirit. If you say no, you're now allowing your flesh to control you and you're no longer living a Spirit-filled life. So there is a choice that you must make. Now, as you continue to walk in the Spirit and you say, Lord, I know that I have to be gentle. I know that you're calling me to love them, that this is a test of my character, and I choose to do that. I choose to obey. And you choose to walk in the Spirit and you say, Holy Spirit, I don't feel like loving this person right now, but I know this is what you want. Therefore, I depend upon you to live the life of Christ through me right now. I pray you will enable me to love this person with his love right now. Then you step out to do what you know you should do in absolute dependence that God will meet you at that point of obedience with his power, his enabling power to obey, to love, to live a Christ-like life at that moment. And you know what you find? You find that at that moment of obedience, at that moment of dependence, that God will meet you right there and he will give you the love that you need. He will live the Christ-like life through you. That's what the Holy Spirit has been given to us to do, to bring the life of Christ to us and to live the life of Christ through us. And he will do that when you make the choice to submit to him and to love anyway, and you start to love in absolute dependence that he will enable you to do that. You will find that that fruit of love is there. And he will apply that at that moment, and you will be able to love. See, a person who is Spirit-filled will have this fruit produced in them. That's the promise. It will naturally flow so much of the time, but there are going to be times when you are going to have to make a choice of obedience to love anyway when you don't feel like it. If you're living in the Spirit, when you do that, you will find that the fruit is there and you will be able to love. He will enable you. If you aren't living a Spirit-filled life, this is going to be impossible. The desire to love, to be kind, to be gentle, to be patient will be weak. It won't be worked into you. There will be no fruit there to apply. You won't have his strength to overcome your flesh. You'll be controlled by the flesh instead, and the flesh is selfish. The flesh is angry. The flesh is bitter. The flesh is jealous and envious. It doesn't want to love. So that's what's going to be coming out of you. When you try to love or have peace or joy, it won't be this fruit that is God's love. His joy and his peace, you know what? It's going to be something that you work up. I mean, there are people who are not walking in the Spirit who have these moments where, you know what, I'm really going to try. And so they step out and say, I'm going to love. I am going to be patient. And so they can work it up in their own strength. But you know what? That is so different than God's love, isn't it? That he wants to give to you. So different than his peace and his joy and his patience. What it is it's reduced down to a human love, joy, and peace, which is nothing like what is on offer here. This is fantastic, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. What is on offer here to you in the Holy Scriptures. God's character that is given to you. Virtues that cannot be produced by human effort. Virtues that are far greater than anything mankind could ever produce. Virtues that can rise you above yourself. Help you to overcome your worst enemy. What is your worst enemy? You know who it is? It's you, right? I'm my worst enemy. The problem is, everywhere I go, there I am. I drag myself and my weakness and my flesh and my carnality everywhere I go. And the only way to overcome that and to live a life that is victorious, to live a life that has this kind of grace in it, this kind of life that is such a testimony to the lost, is to submit myself to God, surrender to Him, to depend upon Him, to give me the power through the Spirit to live out a Christ-like life. It is a Spirit-filled life that lives this out. He'll produce these fruits that help you to overcome you and help you to really love, help you to really have peace and joy, kindness, gentleness, self-control, patience, and all of these things. Well, let's look at the individual pieces of fruit. Remember, these are ways you can tell if you're Spirit-filled, and we're going to look at the first three today, and then the next time we'll pick up the last six. First one is the fruit of the Spirit is love. What is this? Love towards God, first of all, and then love towards man. Let's look at love towards God, first of all. Man wasn't created because God needed somebody to take care of his garden. You know that? I mean, he didn't look down and say, you know, the animals aren't doing a very good job. I need something with opposable thumbs. I'm going to create man, and I'm going to let him take care of this garden. That's not the reason man was created. He was created to be in a loving relationship with God, to enjoy Him forever. The Westminster Catechism says this: what is the purpose of man? Why was he created? To glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Isn't that incredible? God created man to be in relationship with Himself. God created man to enjoy Him, to enjoy God. Adam's sin shattered that relationship. Jesus died on the cross so it could be restored. And you know what happened when Jesus died on the cross and when you put your faith back in Christ? You know what happens? Jesus brings you back into a relationship so that you can enjoy God in the same way that Adam did before he fell. You read in the Bible how God walked in the cool of the garden with Adam. You can imagine the richness of the fellowship there, the richness of the conversation, the joy Adam must have felt. In Christ, we have been brought back into that relationship so that we can enjoy God also, so that we can walk and talk with Him, love Him. When you boil it down, this is the most basic form of Christianity, isn't it? Man in relationship with God, enjoying Him, where God is the joy of our life, where He is the passion of our heart. That's what Christianity is. And everything flows out of that relationship. See, too many of us want to be religious. Everything flows out of I must do that, and I can't do that, and that's because Christians don't do that, and they do this, and I come to church because I've always come to church. Well, I wouldn't be much of a Christian if I didn't. But you know what? The reason you should be at church today, the reason you should be serving God and obeying Him and worshiping Him, is because He is the love of your life. He is the passion of your heart. Because you understand what He has done in saving a wretch like you, that you are so grateful that how can you not be here? How can you not serve somebody who has served you in such a way? How can you not love somebody who has loved you like He's loved you? How can you sin against somebody like that? That's what it's all about, isn't it? It's a heart driven by love. It's a heart driven by adoration and gratitude over a God who has done such great things for you. How can I not do great things for Him? How can I not live for Him? So the fruit of the Spirit is love. First of all, love towards God. That's what the Spirit wants to produce in you. And as you walk in a Spirit-filled way, what you're going to find is your heart is going to be more and more captured by Jesus Christ. He is going to become the love of your life. He is going to become your hero. He is going to become the passion of your soul. That's what the Spirit wants to do. He wants to take you to Christ, and He wants to fill your heart so much with Him. He wants to open those truths up, what Christ has done for you, so that your heart responds in love and gratitude. But it's also a love for man. Matthew 22, 35 through 39. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. It is love. It is agape love. It is the unconditional love of God towards others. And if you're walking in the Spirit, you will be a person who loves God, and you will be a person who loves others. If you're always mean-spirited, if you're always angry and cantankerous, you may be saved, but listen, you are not Spirit-filled. It's that simple, isn't it? When the Spirit controls you, He makes you like Christ. He starts to produce Christ-likeness in you. And Christ loved. Christ was gentle. He was patient and kind. If you are Spirit-filled, then those characteristics will begin to flow out to others. So, let me ask you this. Are you a loving person? Yes, I am. Would your wife say so? Would your children say so? Would your co-workers say so? Would your neighbors say so? If you say, not really, then the answer isn't trying to work it up in the flesh. Listen, you try to work up love in the flesh, you're going to fail every time. The answer is to fix your gaze on Christ and draw near to Him. The answer is to submit yourself daily to the Spirit, that simple obedience to what He has said in the Word. Begin to depend upon Him moment by moment to live the life of Christ out through you. And you know what will happen? That love that you want will begin to be produced naturally. And you'll find your heart being inflamed towards God. And you'll find your heart naturally starting to love others. He will begin to produce this fruit naturally in your life. He will begin to give you the desires to love. He will do it. If you'll draw near to Him, depend upon Him, submit your life to Him. This is the natural result of that. Secondly, the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Didn't you know the Bible is a book about joy? It has 542 references to joy in it. Did you know that joy is a command in the Bible? Philippians 3:1, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To have joy is a choice I must make. But that choice will only be successful if I'm living in the Spirit, and if the Spirit has produced that fruit of joy in my life, and if His strength is enabling me to overcome my circumstances so that I can experience that joy. So if the Bible is a book about joy, if joy is a command from God for the believer, let me ask you this. Why are there so many miserable Christians? That's a good question, isn't it? Why are there so many miserable Christians if the book is about joy and if the command is to have joy? Why do we read things like this? Oliver Wendell Holmes once said, I might have entered the ministry if certain clergymen I knew had not looked and acted so much like undertakers. Isn't that true? Robert Louis Stevenson once entered in his diary as if he was recording an extraordinary phenomenon. You know what he wrote? I have been to church today and am not depressed. No wonder so many don't want to go to church, right? You walk in some of these churches and you think, who died? What happened here? Why are we all so sad? What a lousy testimony that is to a watching world who walks into a church and says, that's what Christianity has done to you? Did you just eat a lemon? I mean, if that's what Jesus does to your life, no thanks. I don't think so. I don't want it. Who should have more joy than us? Who should have more real joy than the believer? What are we so worried about? What is stealing our joy? Aren't we saved? Isn't our eternity secure? Don't we have the promise that God is in control and will work all things out for our good? Did He lie when He said that? See, this genuine joy, when we really have it, is extremely attractive to the unbeliever. What a great witness it is to see somebody have joy, real joy, regardless of what they're going through. And I'm not talking about this giddy cotton candy stuff that we see that's some substitute for joy. That's not real joy. That's shallow. That's surfacey. I'm talking about this deep joy based on our relationship with Christ and upon His truth that we've embraced. This joy that is not environmentally controlled because it is God's own joy given to us. John 15:11, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete, full joy, complete joy. His joy doesn't change just because circumstances do. It is stable. It is unshakable. Peter speaks of this joy. 1 Peter 1:8, though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. So deep, so real, even in the darkest times, it's still inexpressible. It's there. What is he saying? He's saying it is so incredible, so wonderful, that if I even tried to explain it to you in words, words would fail. Words would fall short. It's inexpressible how great this joy is. Why? Because it is a divine joy given to us. And mere mortals can't explain it. Mere words cannot explain the joy God gives. It's too great. It's too deep. It's too wonderful. All we know is it's real. Very real, and even the darkest times can't shake it. How else can you explain a cancer patient that still radiates this joy when you're around them? It is God's joy given to his child that's been walking closely to him. It's a gift. It's a fruit. The Spirit has done this in a person's life. He has produced this in their life. This is real. I'll tell you what, isn't this what we need so badly in this life? This life that wants to steal our joy, this life that throws at us so many adverse circumstances. What I need is God's joy. What I need is His peace if I am going to live this life as an overcomer. That's exactly what's on offer here. That's exactly what Galatians 5:22 and 23 says He's willing to give you. If you walk in the Spirit, this is what the Spirit does when we're walking a Spirit-filled life. Now, I want to give you a personal example of how this works. And now I bring up my sandal and why I'm sitting here. My foot started to hurt Monday, and I mean hurt. Some of the most intense pain I ever felt. Felt like my foot had been put in a meat grinder. That's the only way I can explain the pain that I was going through. Finally, by Thursday, it was getting worse and worse, and I couldn't sleep at night because my foot was so throbbing that we went to the emergency ward, and the doctor there looked at it after a three-hour wait, looked at it, and, I mean, within seconds, she just said, "That's gout. You have gout." Now, I've heard about gout. I didn't really understand what it was about. I just knew that it was extremely painful. But mainly our thinking about gout, I think, is these cartoons you see with a big Band-Aid on the swollen foot. You know, and I knew Spurgeon had gout. You know, so I thought, well, I'm in good company there. And listen to this. Spurgeon used to go to the Mediterranean coast in France for 6 months a year because of his gout. So I'm thinking at this point, gout rocks. But anyway, back to being serious about my gout. As I looked it up on the internet, I found out it's the most painful form of arthritis that there is, that it's absolutely debilitating when it flares up. I'll tell you what, when it flares up, forget about walking. You can't walk. Every step is so painful. It's unbelievable. And it's weird. It's like right now, it's not too bad. But in 10 minutes from now, it can flare up again. And, you know, if I'm rolling around here in a few minutes, I didn't get slain in the Spirit, okay? The only way I can describe the pain, like I said, was my foot being put in a meat grinder. Absolutely intense. I don't know if I've ever experienced anything like it. And it can reoccur over the rest of your life. And it can spread, actually, from your feet to other joints also. So obviously, this was not good news that I got Thursday. Went home from emergency, went on the internet to do some research, and read things like this. It's so painful, I wanted to amputate my feet and hands. I thought, oh, thank you for the encouragement, brother. I read, it can reoccur many times a year. Good. It says you have to control it through diet. I started looking at the diet, and I read, well, you can't have red meat. And I thought, well, that's no good. Then I read in another place, you can't have poultry. Then I read in another place, you can't have pork. And then another place said, don't even try eating fish. But here's the good news. You can have all the chocolate you want because there's no purines in chocolate. And that's what causes the gout flare-ups is purines. But you have to lose weight. So it's kind of like, you can have chocolate. No, you can't. Anyway, I'm reading all these things. And I started to feel myself slip a bit into depression because I wasn't reading any good news. You know, this is not good news. But I had just been studying the fruit of the Spirit, and it hit me. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. A joy that is not environmentally controlled, not affected by circumstances. It is God's joy, a joy that is so powerful, so real, that it can overcome anything that is thrown at it. That's the joy that's on offer. And so I started to pray. I said, Lord, I choose joy. I choose not to let this make me bitter, but better. I choose not to let this drive me from you, but to drive me closer to you. Lord, help me to find you in this. Lord, I pray that you will shine through this for your glory. And then I prayed, Holy Spirit, you have come into my life to bring the life of Christ to me and to live the life of Christ through me. I pray right now that you would live his joy and his peace through me. I thank you for your enabling power. I thank you for the Christian life, how great it is. And you know what happened? As I was sitting there praying, all of a sudden, a joy filled me. A peace filled me that was unbelievable. All I could do is lift my hands and worship my God. That's what this is all about. This is real stuff that overcomes the bad news, that makes you overcomers in your life. And every time the pain has got bad since then, you know what? I've been thanking him, not for the pain itself, but for the reality of who he is in my life and for truths like this. I say, you said to rejoice in all things, that you're in control, that trials are sent into my life for my benefit, not my detriment. I have taught others that you never make a mistake in what you allow in their life, and I believe that you never make a mistake in what you bring into mine. So I thank you right now, even in the intensity of this pain. I trust you that you know what you're doing. Use this in my life to draw me near to you. Use this in my life to make you more real to me. Use this in my life to glorify yourself through me. And I'll tell you what, I have had joy and peace the whole time, regardless of how intense the pain has been. Praise God. That's the reality of Jesus Christ in our life. Listen, I'm not excited that I have this disease. It isn't my first choice for my life. It wasn't something I was praying for, you know, at a prayer meeting. Anybody else have another prayer request? Yes, I do. Can we all pray that I get gout? You know, it's not my first choice, obviously. But what is the reality? The reality is I have it. That can either depress me or that can drive me to Jesus. I can let it get me bitter or I can ask God to make himself more real in my life through it and to glorify himself in it. Don't I believe in God's ability to heal? Absolutely. Do I believe he always heals? No. Why? Because Scripture never teaches that God always heals. In Galatians, you find Paul saying, as you know, I first went to preach to you because of my sickness. That's Paul the Apostle. You see Paul telling Timothy over in 1 Timothy, Timothy, drink wine because of your stomach and your frequent illnesses. Didn't Paul know that we're just supposed to claim our healing? Didn't he understand that God heals everybody? That we're always going to be healthy and wealthy? Paul, you don't know anything about spiritual warfare, I guess. You don't understand. He understood all too well that sometimes God allows sickness into a life and sometimes God allows disease into a life because that is what that life needs. Listen, God can heal, but God doesn't always heal. Will he heal me? You know, I have no idea. I've asked him to. But at the same time, I will leave that up to him. Do whatever you want, Lord. He knows what I need in my life to draw me closer to Him. He knows what I need in my life to make me more effective. If that is this disease, you know what? So be it. Then so be it. He knows what He's doing. He knows what is best for me. We are taught to pray, Thy will be done, Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done even when it's gout? Yes, even when it's gout. Even when it's a disease? Yes, even when it's a disease. Lord, You do whatever You want in my life. You know what You're doing. I trust You. You know what's necessary for me at this moment. You know what is going to glorify You the most. And I'll tell you what, we've got all these people running around saying God is going to heal you and everything. And instead of trusting God and serving Him through the disease and glorifying God in the joy and peace they have even during the disease, letting the world see that even that can't steal His joy, steal His peace from you. To see an overcomer even in that. We have these people running around saying, you know, I'm going to get healed in everything. And they lose the opportunities that God is giving them to serve Him. I don't want to do that. God wants to use this in my life. He may heal me someday. He may never. It may get worse. It may get better. I don't know. To be honest, it's whatever He wants. I embrace it. Isn't that what James said? Rejoice when you're in trials of various kinds. Why? Because they're beneficial. Because God does great things through those trials. So even when there's hardship, disease, and pain, that doesn't affect the fruits of the Spirit. That's what I learned this week. How thankful I am for God's joy and His peace in my life. The bad news hasn't touched it one bit. And I can tell you this honestly, I think I have more joy and peace since the bad news. Since I've turned my life over to God in a greater way and said, You just do whatever You want. I trust You. The joy and peace has just increased rather than gone away. How thankful I am for the Christian life. How thankful I am for a God who does that for us. Down at street level, the real deal when it comes into our life, those dark situations and circumstances, how grateful I am that I can turn to a God who is bigger than any of that and say, Live Your peace through me right now. Live Your joy through me right now. And He will. Praise God. I'm so thankful for the Christian life. No life is immune from hardship, believer or unbeliever. But we have something that can make us victorious through it. God is willing to give us His joy and His peace. Well, let's turn to the fruit of peace. We've already mentioned that, but let's look at that. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. And it starts with a peace with God. That assurance that we are right with God through the work of Christ, that the war is over. That there is no alienation anymore. I'm okay with Him. I'm in His family. It's the comfort in knowing that every sin is truly forgiven, past, present, and future. Therefore, our eternity is secure. We will be with our God in glory. You know what? This life is just a vapor, isn't it? It's going to last a few more years, whatever, another 20, 30 years, whatever it is, I don't know. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to be with Him for all of eternity. And I have this peace that I am right with Him through the work of Christ. And I know without a doubt that when I go, when it is my time to go, I will close my eyes here on earth and I will open them staring into the face of my Savior. I have no doubt. Isn't that incredible? That's the kind of peace we have. My soul is secure. My eternity is secure. I will be with my God. It is the Spirit who gives us this peace as we walk closely with our Lord. Romans 8:16, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, this peace with God leads to another type of peace, and what it is the peace of God, and I think that is what is really being spoken of here primarily. The peace of God. Like joy, this is God's own peace given to us. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. He says, my peace I give to you. It is a peace that flows out of our relationship with God and our understanding of His truth. Lord, You love me. Lord, You're in control. Why should I worry? Because You're not. It is a peace that is not altered by adverse circumstances. Again, it's his peace, and he is not worried himself. John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. In this world you will have trouble, Jesus says. But take heart, my peace is not shaken by that, not altered by that. Like our joy that is inexpressible, this peace is beyond understanding. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Listen, when we are in circumstances that are on a human level, should be causing us panic, we find that we're not panicking. There is this deep serenity. There is this incredible tranquility. We can't explain it. The only explanation is that God has given it to us. Have you ever experienced that? It's incredible, isn't it? You know, and there's these times where everything is going wrong. You have such a serenity about yourself, such a tranquility, that you start to feel guilty. Well, I should be worried about this. But I'm not. You think people will think I don't care, but I do. But God has given us his serenity. It is guarding our hearts and our minds. His serenity. Listen, I know when I'm walking in the Spirit, I have this peace of God. There is a serenity in my life. I also know when I've begun to give control back to my flesh that this peace leaves. I begin to worry. Things bother me. Things stress me out. The solution is always, listen to this, the solution is always when I'm starting to worry, when I'm starting to be stressed. The solution is always to draw near to God, to submit afresh to Him, to begin to depend upon Him again. And what happens? This fruit begins to grow again. I begin to experience His peace. Here is when the Spirit-filled life shines the brightest, in times of trouble. When we can still love, when we can still have joy and peace, all because we've been brought into a relationship with this living God who is very real at these times, who has placed within us His Spirit to produce His character. His character enables us to rise above. Now listen to this. Please listen to this. His character enables us to rise above the downward pull of this world and its circumstances. Listen, when I read about gout, I started to feel this downward pull. But right away, I was lifted out of that pit by God's joy and by God's peace given to me. Let me ask you this. What are you going through this morning that is shaking your life? You need this fruit so badly, don't you? Isn't this what you need? You need peace and joy, God's love. Isn't that what you want? Draw near to Him, submit to Him, depend upon Him, live the abiding life, the Spirit-filled life. And this is the promise. These things will begin to flow into your life. That's the promise. Isn't that what you want? See, this works. This is Christianity lived out as it should be. Victorious and overcoming. Not freedom from adversity or suffering. Since I've begun this series, I'll tell you what, I've never had so much trouble come into my life. Have you noticed? It's been unbelievable. I start the series, next thing you know, I'm laid up in bed with my back out, flat on my back. Can't move. Then I get news about my mom, inoperable lung cancer. Then I get news about me, lousy gout, right? I get news about me. You know, the same day I found out I had gout, Carrie found out that her dad has inoperable leukemia. I mean, it has been one thing after another. I knew when I started this series that I would get hit. You know, there are some series you just know that the devil's not going to roll over and let you do it easy. I had no idea. But you know what I found out? Alongside all that, at the same time, there has been such an incredible joy, such an incredible peace in my life. God has been so real through it all. And how thankful I am for that. This is what you need. Don't settle for anything less. Doesn't a life filled with love, a passionate love for God, a love for man sound good? Sounds good, doesn't it? Doesn't a life filled with joy, a joy that can't be touched by this world's circumstances, sound good? Man, it does. Doesn't a life filled with peace that is beyond understanding sound good? God's serenity in your life? Aren't you tired of the daily stress, worried about everything, being miserable all the time? Aren't you sick of that? Are you tired of your life and how you live it? Let me give you a suggestion. Try living Christ's life instead. I guarantee you that's an upgrade. In computer talk, that's an upgrade. You go from 1.0 to 2.0. Life 2.0 in Christ. And I'll tell you, that is exactly what the Spirit wants to do in your life. He took up residence in you to bring Christ to you and to live Christ through you. That's what He wants to do. He wants you to know His joy, His peace, His love. And it is my prayer that you'll not only listen to this series, but apply it. See, that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, you can listen to this series and say, oh man, that's been a bunch of interesting sermons. What have you done with it? I bought the CDs. Really? Have you listened to them? Have you applied any of it? Yeah. I want you to get this. This is an important truth. Just owning a tape series doesn't do anything in your life. It's right there on my bookshelf. But is it in your heart? Have you taken those truths and applied them to your life? Only then does it matter. Only then will it help. I suggest you get these tapes or these CDs and you listen to it over and over again and you apply these truths, because these truths will revolutionize your life. It's an upgrade. It is my prayer that you'll do that. Let's pray about this. Father, we do thank You. Thank You for Your love, joy, and peace that is so real. Lord, that You are so concerned about us, that You want us to live a life that is filled with joy, that You want us to live a life that is filled with peace, a life You've called the abundant life. And Lord, I thank You that things like disease, it's just not powerful enough to knock Your joy out, to knock Your peace out. I thank You for Your greatness, and I thank You for the immensity of these fruits that You give to us, that they are able to override, in a sense. They're able to ride above the circumstances, and even though we're in pain, even though things may not be going the way we want them to go, Lord, we can still have Your peace and Your joy. Father, we love You. We thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.